I have realized that many times the hard thing of the process we are going through is not the process itself, but the way we feel about it, or how we choose to feel in the midst of the process. And it's more when the feeling we experience is that of being alone. Sometimes loneliness can be complicated, although in other moments can be necessary. So going through the process alone is the complicated thing, because when you feel that someone is there with you, that accompanies you, well, the pain becomes more bearable, the burden becomes lighter. But what happens when it is not? We begin to complicate our lives, and we begin to feel bad. Often, this can occur to us if we forget the one we depend on, and if we forget the promises that God has given us. It is true that our life can change in the blink of an eye. That is, everything around us suddenly can turn uncertain. But if we remember what God has said, if we remember His promises, what He has given us, if we remember that He told us that He was always going to be there with us, then we will understand, first, that we are not going to face situations alone, that we are going to have His company. Second, besides having His company, He is going to give us the direction so that we can go forward and we can win. And third, there is not a trial that God allows that we cannot resist. And also, with that trial, He gives us the way out. But it is important that we think about this. God said He will be with me. But did He only say that so I don't feel alone? Or is He going to be with me to show me the way and lead me to the victory that He has already obtained? If so, the only way I can experience it, not only feel that He is there, but that He guides me, it's when I decide to submit to His purpose, to His will. When I have had that encounter with Him, and I decide to listen to His voice, I receive His advice, I keep it in my heart to put it into practice, then the right result will be produced. Because it is useless knowing that God is there if you don't listen to Him. It is useless to know that God is going to be with me in the midst of the process if I still make decisions by my own and want to act as I consider. I am putting aside what God is telling me, just wanting Him to be there, but what does that work for? If in the end, we will continue doing what we want and suffering the same mistakes over and over and over again, my beloved friend. So, God has promised to be there. But the good thing about this is deciding to be subject to His will, listening to His voice, and walking the way He wants us to walk. Then, Him being there with us will give us peace, will uphold us, and it will give us the joy we need to face each moment in life. This happened to a young man named Jacob. His life changed in the blink of an eye. Well, it had to change, because Jacob cheated on his father with his mother's help, and he cheated on his brother too. Let's say he took away his birthright. He earned his father's blessing, but this brought consequences, and very bad consequences. Because when his older brother found out what Jacob had done, he got so mad, and he dedicated himself to persecuting him, because his intention was to kill him. So Jacob had to run away from home, grabbed the first thing he could, he packed a very small suitcase, and he left. Where? Well, Jacob didn't understand what life had prepared for him, but God did have a plan with him. So, Before arriving any place, God allowed him to reach a specific place where he was going to have an encounter with him, where he knew that Jacob had to get there before going to the next stop. He necessarily needed to go through that place, and it was to have a personal encounter with God. Jacob arrived to a place called Bethel. There he arrived tired. He took a stone as a pillow, laid his head, and there he had an experience with God. You know, we need to stop settling for knowing the story of Jesus and knowing the story of God and go to the next level. Yearn to have an experience with God of history and thus really know Him as He is. By knowing Him, we can discover also what we were designed for, what is His purpose for us, and why He called us and chose us, and this is wonderful, but we need that experience. I cannot force you to it. I only lead you, but you can only yearn for it. And tell Him, Lord, I want to get to Bethel too. I need to get to Bethel. There are decisions that you may have to make. There are situations that you will have to face. So, you need to enter first. You need to get to Bethel first. This is important as well. So there, after Jacob had this experience, before going on his way, God gave him a promise. And this promise was the following. A promise that is in Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. I believe that it is not only a promise for Jacob, but for everyone who has given his life to Christ, who has had that experience of true repentance, that his life has been transformed by God. Today, this promise is for you. The Word of God also says, I will be with you and protect you wherever you go, and I will bring you back safely to this land. I will never forsake you without having fulfilled my promises. The New Living Translation says, what's more, I am with you and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. Other versions of the Bible say, I will not abandon you until I fulfill all that I have promised you. What a wonderful promise, in which God today reminds you of a few simple words. I will not leave you until I fulfill what I have promised to do with you. And you may say, but when is God going to do it? Because I feel that sometimes He is silent. I feel that the process is so hard. And you have that answer yourself. To what extent are you willing to surrender to God? To what extent are you willing to listen to Him? Because as I told you recently, He told you, I will not leave you. There He is. But have you allowed Him to work in your life? Have you given Him control? Have you opened the door of your heart for Him to organize and direct you in each area of your life? You have the answer, my beloved friend. It is not that God is delaying. It is that you have not wanted to let it go. It is not that God doesn't want to work. It is that you have told Him that you are not ready yet. And the question is, when are you going to be ready? If you don't make the decision now, you will never know what God is going to work on in your life. Now, do not be thinking, oh, I have to leave this or that thing now. Let God take care of everything. You will realize that, even, you will not realize when you released it, because He took care of it. God said, I will not leave you. And He keeps His promises. Believe me that those words comfort us when we go through difficult moments. They give us steadiness. They give us peace. They give us strength. Because not losing the confidence is important to move forward. So, those words. Every time I remember these words, O Lord, You will fulfill Your purpose in my life. You won't let me go until you do it completely, until you fulfill it completely. Those words fill me with hope. I know that God is in control and that He is still here with me. I know that sometimes He is silent, but it doesn't mean that He has left me. He is working. Jacob was going through a difficult time in his life. He was far from home. His brother was looking for him to kill him. And perhaps he felt that his future was uncertain. Maybe you can feel identified with him because of some situations that you are going through today. He had some uncertainty, but I assure you that when he heard the voice of God, when he heard, "I will not leave you. I am going to take you and I am going to bring you back to protect you because I am going to fulfill what I am promising you." I am sure that when he heard that voice, he got up, he got stronger and continued his journey. He could give up and say, "I cannot do this anymore," or getting up and continue. What are you going to do today? There is a promise from God to you too, and I will remind you of it. God tells you today, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." Keep that promise in your heart, because God has told you, "I will not leave you." God has told you, "I will fulfill what I have promised you." That is how it is. God tells you, "I will do it," but the million-dollar question is, are you going to allow him to do it? Because knowing that he is there isn't enough if I do not decide to surrender, to listen to his voice, and walk in his will. He has already won for us. What else are you looking for? What else do you want to do? What else do you want to experience? If in the end you realize that your heart is still empty, he is ready and available at the door today. You can simply turn your ears away from this advice this morning, or it can be a stop on your journey and say, "Lord, today I want to enter Bethel. Today I want to enter that place to meet with you. Today I want to appropriate that promise. Today I want to get up because you have told me that you are not going to leave me. So I won't walk alone from now on. You go with me. Let me hear your voice clearly and then I will walk in the proper way. And I know that even when hard times and situations come, you will fight for me. You will support me. And I will simply go forward in your name." To conclude this advice, Paul said the following: "I know that I am weak. I pray to the Lord to remove this weakness and allows me to be strong. But then God told me, 'My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness.'" In other words, my grace, Paul, may my grace be sufficient for you. And you might ask, what is grace? I am going to answer it this way. The grace of God are the forces that come from Him and can cause a great impact in your life in such a way that they lead you to conquer and do what you would not have been able to do in your own strength. That is called grace. The gift of God is what strengthens us to do what we cannot do in our own strength. So, when you get to that experience with God and you surrender, and you allow Him to occupy every place in your life, then you begin to understand that His grace is sufficient. And then, Paul, everything that he conquered and achieved in his life's most difficult moments of crisis, at the end he said, "By grace I am what I am." Today you can say, "I will get up, I will walk, I will go forward, because His grace upholds me. By grace I am what I am." And never forget, never, that God told you, "I will not leave you." Father, thank you for being there, and not only for being there, but also for giving us confidence, for speaking to us, for teaching us. I just ask you in the name of Jesus, in these moments, that these words can impact hearts, and that today, Lord, we can make our own decision to get to Bethel, to have an encounter with you, face to face, and to surrender completely in such a way that we walk listening to your voice, and not how the one who walks doing his own will, but that we can walk in your complete and perfect will. In the name of Jesus, tear down all those arguments in our mind, those thoughts about us being right and you don't. Help us to stop walking in rebellion and under our own concepts, because many times, Father, we only pray and we ask for your guidance in solving a problem, but then we continue living the way we want. No, Lord, that we can surrender everything to you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. This was a translation of the daily devotional delivered by your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. I remind you that you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Just on Time, Daily Devotionals, Blessings.